Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 465th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by BetRivers. Claim your risk-free bet of up to $500 over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BetRivers. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Game Time tickets make the perfect holiday gift. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase.
Heidi ho, DeGenerinos, welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 465. It's going out to all you hardcore gens out there who had us as your number one podcast this past year on Spotify. We got our Spotify wrapped, and there are more than a handful of you that
88
gave away industry secrets. Yes, it was 88 of you that had us as your number one podcast, and over 1,000 have you had us in your top 10. So, thank you for being sickos and for listening to us all year long. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, and we're back, baby, with UFC, the last UFC fight night of the year. We got this one, and then we got a UFC pay-per-view, and then they're going dark for the rest of 2023. It's UFC fight night, Song versus Gutierrez. Let's bring in that co-host of mine, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, to help me make some picks here. We were 100% consensus last episode. Hello, Gumby.
Do you feel like we'll be 100% on this one? Usually I've got like a good sense of where you're at and like the types of picks you make. And I don't know if we'll be 100%, but I feel like 4 out of 5 is very reasonable here.
Okay, let me see. Oh, I already have your name on one that I, wow. We're going to see if I'm right. Let me guess how many we're going to have right. We're going to have the same. We're going to have one. We're going to have about three out of the five, maybe four, but three is my guess.
Okay. I can respect that. You haven't heard the Top Turtle MMA podcast yet either.
I have not listened yet this week. No, make sure you all listen to Top Turtle after you listen to this. Actually, you already listened to this. So don't turn this off and go to Top Turtle. I'm not on it. So you're not missing out on too much. Make sure you listen to Top Turtle after you listen to this. But yeah, my prediction is three and a half.
Okay. I'll take the higher then.
we do surprise each other sometimes with picks. Yeah. Occasionally. Yeah. Usually we have a feeling. We're an old married couple. We know what each other likes in fighters, but sometimes we surprise each other. So I go with dogs nowadays. Like, people change, Gumby. Okay. People grow.
I went with 6 last week and 5 of them hit. So just saying.
Yeah. You're a wild man. And how did that work out for you, Gumby? Not so great, I bet, right?
It worked really well. Yeah.
10-2, perhaps?
Yeah, 10-2. And only one of the dogs didn't hit, too. The other one was a favorite who I missed.
Yeah. And I hit all my fancy plays. So what we're telling you is make sure you listen right to the very end. We're going to do our locks, our dogs, our props, and a parlay for you. And I swept my locks, dogs, and props last week. I may not be able to beat Gumby in the overall results, which people would probably think, how is he even close? But normally I win. I just sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. I may have a chance to beat you in dogs for the year and props. Probably not locks, but we'll see.
What if I just make you go first and just tail you?
That's fine. Oh, yeah, that's right. You could do that. Yes, a Price is Right type method where you, you're going to hope I guess over and you're going to bet $1 is going to be your bet. But yeah, Gumby could do that, but he's not. We're not going to allow him to do that. We have rules in place, so people like you
can't cheat the system.
Cheat the system. Yes, that's not even hard to think. Cheat. That's not a hard word to come up with. Duh. All right. We're not going to cheat you of winning picks. We're going to give you winning picks right about now, since the rambling is going out of control for me. It's UFC Fight Night Song versus Gutierrez. A few podcasts I listened to were poo-pooing this main event. This is like, would they rather see a crap middleweight main event like we usually get? Like,
no, this main event is awesome. And I will also tell you, I also think the co-main event is like a typical main event on a fight night card.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned last
time. And I would be way more pissed off with that being a main event.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like these are like other podcasts, so usually they have decent takes, but they're like, oh, we're getting Song Yadong and Chris Gutierrez. Like, yeah, two top bantamweights. Well, would you rather middleweights or light heavyweights? Come on, yeah. Should be a fun fight. All right, let's dig into her. Yesterday was our prelims, as I alluded to. We agreed all six of the picks, so obviously we know what we're talking about, and they're all going to win, so make sure you listen to that if you have not already, or watch us. Thank you if you're watching us on YouTube. Smash that subscribe button, even if you're not watching us. Smash it, and then buy a new laptop or a phone because you smashed the subscribe button. All right, this is the UFC Apex. The ownership is Endeavor. Did you know that, Gumby?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
ESPN Plus. It will be shown on. All right, prelims for 7. Main card is 10 p.m. 11 fights. We're going to do the top 5 here because we already did the bottom 6 yesterday for you. Okay, we're going to start off with middleweight fight. Andre Muniz from Brazil versus South Korea's Jeon Young Park. This fight, I'm not so sure if we're going to agree or not. I think, no, actually, this one we probably will agree. Let's get into it. Muniz, Sergio Pano. Have we talked about what that means? Do we know what that means?
For some reason, I want to say it's a custard, but then that sounds wrong.
Imagine that. Nick came after custard. How scary is that, Gumby?
The Brazilian custard. No, I... although, I've said this before. I don't know if I've said this on this podcast. The run of Brazilian nicknames that sound like crazy menacing, only for them to be like something not menacing at all, is like my favorite MMA trope. Like, Napau Gonzaga. Remember Gabriel Gonzaga? Napau. Napau means big nose. Big nose.
or they put little on the end of everything. Eno's on the end of everything too.
Yeah.
Which just means little or small.
Yeah. Toqueño, Rosamal Pajares, like the most dangerous dude on the planet, most quite literally, because he'll like not let go of submissions when you're in a competition. Exactly. Tristam, you know, like not scared. Yeah.
It's just a description, basically. Right. It's what it is. Or all the rest are named after tractors. I'm not really scared of tractors. I guess you don't want to lose. You could lose a limb in a tractor, but, you know, I think I could get out of the way of a tractor. They're not too fast, right?
At least not
in these parts.
I very much don't know.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I guess there's no tractor. What? You live in like the middle of nowhere. There must be tractors everywhere. No tractors in the mountain growing up.
Yeah, it's mountainous out here. That's not a tractor place.
No, that's true. It's true. All right. Back to the fight. Shall we get into Andre Muniz's resume? All right. We covered his nickname. We didn't give you any interesting information about his nickname there. He's 23-6, 4 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted once. So he's been finished in every one of his losses. He owes his rounds when he loses, at the very least. 6-2 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight fights, both via finish after winning his first 6 in the UFC. 2-0 on Contender Series. Dana White made him come back a second time there. Was a regional champion, 2009 pro MMA debut. 3 inches height, 5 inches reach on Park, so he's got a pretty good size advantage there. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.14 strikes per minute. So that's pretty much a wash on the feet, and he's at +140. The Iron Turtle. We know what that nickname means. He means he's a turtle with an iron shell. He's 17-5. 5 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 7-2 in the UFC. He's won 4 straight and 7 of 8. 3 straight wins via submission. Has not lost since October 2021. Regional champion. Used to fight down at welterweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. 1 year younger than Muniz. Better striking stats, and he's twice more active landing strikes. And he has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.28 strikes per minute. He's at minus 177. I guess I start off the main card normally. Give me the Iron Turtle, Park. He's really looked good recently. He really opened some eyes. Muniz has been kind of the opposite. He kind of seems like he's fought top of the division talent, but still. I was going to say he's been exposed, but he's fought really good guys. But nonetheless, I think Park is the better fighter here. And like I said, I like what I've seen from him. He seems to be getting better with each outing, and I like the minus 177, so give me Park.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Park too. Also, I just found out very upsettingly that Sergipano just means a person from Sergipe.
So not custard.
Not Brazilian custard, sadly. On another note, I'm going Jung-Yong Park here too. I think you mentioned top of the division kind of losses for Andre Muniz because he lost to Brendan Allen, who's now looked great in two or three straight fights, and he lost to Paul Craig. But being out-wrestled by Paul Craig really does age poorly. Yeah. And at first I was like, oh, maybe Paul Craig down at middleweight is just a world beater and can manhandle people. And then like, the answer is no, he probably isn't. And then I also want to say, I don't think his wins have aged as well as I think they did too. Cause like we were high on Muniz for a bit. Right. And it was like a submission win over Jacare, who we later found out was kind of a shell of himself at that point. And we got the submission win over Eric Anders, which also doesn't age really well. And also Eric Anders kind of got into like a dominant position in that fight, right? Like Andre Muniz had like, he had like shook Andre Muniz off the top of him in a grappling exchange. And like, you know, Muniz caught the submission, which like maybe he was angling for that anyway, but like, had he not caught that submission, he would have been on the bottom. And I think Jung-Yong Park has the submission game that can deal with Andre Muniz. I think he's going to force him to stand a little bit more. And as we saw in that Paul Craig fight, I don't know that Andre Muniz can stand with very many middleweights. Because it seemed like Paul Craig was getting some of the better of the striking there, to the point where it made me ask if Paul Craig had some really good boxing now.
You're funny, Gumby.
That's a bad sign at the end of the day. So, yeah, I'm going to go Jung-Yong Park here too.
All right, there we go. We agree again, 7 in a row. And we also agree on Bet Rivers, which is where all our lines are coming from on this show. And we are brought to you by them today. Bet Rivers is available in over 14 states, plus Ontario, Canada, where the greatest host of any podcast lives in the whole wide world. Plus, one of the hosts of the Hockey Gambling Podcast. So it's a hotbed for podcasting talent, Ontario is. Bet Rivers has some of the best live betting markets in the space. Their betting menu is second to none, including a ton of props. Depositing, withdrawing, more importantly, withdrawing is super easy on Bet Rivers. Gumby, do you have a play for us from Bet Rivers in any sport? Because Gumby is a man of every sport. He knows it all.
Yeah, the Cowboys are going to be playing the Eagles this week. So they are. I think you know where I'm going with this one. Take the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are favorites. I saw, let's say I'll lay the points. I'll lay the 3. I think it's 3.5 right now. I'll lay the 3.5.
All right. He will lay the 3.5. That's how confident he is. Sign up using our link to get a risk-free bet up to $500. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/betrivers. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BETRIVERS. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, we got one fight down. Let's move down to lightweights. Nasrat Haqparast versus Jamie Mullarkey. This is a 3 5-minute round fight. We've got Afghanistan Canadian Nasrat Haqparast. Can I call him Canadian since he's been at TriStar forever?
I mean, you can call him Canadian. I don't know how much he'd like that, but
it's true. Quebec people don't want to be Canadian either. So there's that also. Jamie Mullarkey, Australian. I'm going to call him Australian, whether he likes it or not. I have your name on these fights. I think I know who you're going to pick, and I'm just putting your name down. I'm fights in the spreadsheet. Let's see if I'm correct when we get to them. All right. We can talk about Mullarkey first. This is his real resume. No Mullarkey here whatsoever. 17-6, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. 5-4 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Mantle. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Australians probably have lots of cool stuff on their mantles, right? Big knives and crocodile heads. And what else would they have on their, what else is stereotypical Australian?
Stuffed koala.
stuffed koala. It's true. Anyhow, Malarkey used to fight at featherweight, 2013 pro on May debut. 2 inches height, 2 inches of reach on Hak Parast. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. This is as barely as you can get almost. He's at plus 0.05 strikes per minute. He outstrikes his opponent. Let's check the stats on that. I always give you guys that stat and how good is it predicting fights. Strike differential, 57% overall. So it's not one of the strongest predictors, but it is still an advantage if a fighter has a better strike differential than their opponent. Better grappling stats on Hak Parast as well, plus 155. Hak Parast, 15-5 with 9 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 7-4 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He's fight at 170 pounds, welterweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. A year younger than Malarkey, more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.47 strikes per minute, minus 195. This fight is kind of up in the air whether or not we're going to agree. Let's see, Gumby.
I'm going to go with Jamie Malarkey.
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah, I like this newer, smarter version of Jamie Malarkey. Like the Francisco Prado fight sticks out in my head. Some people were really bored by the way he fought that fight, but he fought smart. He knew he had a dangerous opponent in front of him and he kind of picked him apart. You know, a little bit of a lapse in judgment against Muhammad Naimov, but that fight was on short notice. I don't think you can blame him for that. And if there's been a knock on Jamie Malarkey, it's that like some people have some questions about his chin between the Naimov fight and the, was it Jalen Turner who knocked him out way back when? Like both of those KOs kind of age well. And in addition to that, like even if you're worried about his chin, is Nasrat Akbaras the guy who's going to knock him out? Nasrat Akbaras has, you know, like you can look at his record. What did you say? 50% of his wins were KOs?
More than that. 9 out of 15.
9 out of 15. How many of those in the UFC?
I don't have that stats, but Gumby's going to tell you. Not many.
One knockout in the UFC. So all of his regional wins are knockouts. He's got one win in the UFC by knockout, and it was 5 years ago at a card headlined by Colby Covington versus Robbie Lawler. So like that's how long it's been since Nasrat Akbaras knocked anybody out, and his other 10 fights have gone to the decision. And we've kind of just seen like Jamie Malarkey is a guy who looks good on the scorecards, right? Like a lot of people thought he lost that fight to John McDessie in his last fight. But like the fact of the matter is his like forward pressure sometimes, the impact of his punches, which is sometimes harder to see on TV than it is in person. I think it just plays up well for judges. So I think between that and the length, I think he's going to deal well with Nasrat Akbaras here.
Yep. He is both our picks here. Jamie Malarkey. Yeah, this fight's a lot closer than the odds are for me. Like when I was breaking it down and stuff, I'm like, well, this is pretty close to a pick'em. You know, and I like Malarkey more. So why not get the plus 155 money on it? Right, right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to a middle bantamweight fight. Excuse me. Sumo Derji versus Tim Elliott. China versus USA 3 5 minute rounds. At 135 pounds, we'll tell you about Su Muderji first. The Tibetan Eagle, 16-5, 13 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted 5 times, so that's the issue for him. 3-2 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last 4, including winning his last fight via, he lost his last fight via submission. That was back in July of 2022. Used to fight at bantamweight, an inch of height, 6 inches of reach, 10 years younger than Elliott, so that's some pretty huge, especially at flyweight. That's pretty huge.
Technically
they're going up, right? So basically there's not, I'm sure they'll be the same weight as they normally are when they enter the cage, more than likely. So half a foot of reach is a lot. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.08 strikes a minute. He's at plus 125. Elliott, 19-13-1, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 6 times, 8-11 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's taking this on very short notice. This fight was just, I think, what he said he was flying out yesterday, was it? Tuesday?
I think they knew Muderji's opponent was out. Alan Nascimento, who we mentioned on yesterday's show, was out on, I think they knew he was out on Sunday. So I'm sure Tim Elliott started like figuring things out then.
Yeah. He's always game, regardless. All right. Elliott, let's finish up him. He's 2-1 over his last 3 and 4-2 over his last 6. He lost his last fight via submission. 4-0 in the Ultimate Fighter. And then gave champion God, king of the flyweight division, Demetrius Johnson, a very tough fight. Probably the toughest fight he had in the UFC up to that point. when he was champion. Used to fight at Bantamweight. Actually, this is at Bantamweight. So he's fighting at Bantamweight. No, normally, he fights at both these guys normally fight at Flyweight. 2009 pro MMA debut for Elliott. He's got a positive strike differential of 0.74 strikes per minute, and he's at minus 157. I think this is where we're going to disagree with one another. I'm going to take Mudarji. Short notice, obviously, is a massive issue. The size is a massive issue. The 10 years younger is a massive issue. Just don't look at Mudarji's resume, who he's actually beat in the UFC as of late, because it's not the greatest. Not exactly a murderer's row of fighters, but I still think the size, the age gap, and the fact that he's actually was preparing for a fight is going to be too much for Elliott. I think Gummy's going to disagree with me. Let's see.
You're incorrect. I'm going to go.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I don't feel good about it because I love Tim Elliott and he's so much fun to watch. But like, here's my problem is Sumer Deji's last fight was that absolute slobber knocker with Matt Schnell, right? Very fun fight. Tim Elliott is kind of like at this stage in his career, at the very least, kind of like a slightly worse version of Matt Schnell. Matt Schnell, you know, like is a little bit smarter defensively, does a little bit more technically correct things in boxing. His wrestling is probably, I mean, I'd probably put the wrestling in the same boat, at least. I don't know necessarily that I'm ready to make a value judgment about which is better. I like Elliott's scrambles better. I think maybe Schnell's submissions look better. So like maybe grappling's a coin toss, but I think like Schnell's a little better on the feet than Elliott is. And Sumer Deji just beat the hell out of him on the feet. He had him knocked out like 7 different times. And if Tim Elliott comes up with that funky stuff where his head's moving side to side and he's trying to just like throw his arms everywhere, Mudarji's going to land one. And Mudarji hits so hard. And like you said, 6 inches of reach, younger, now isn't going to have to cut the weight because sort of the question on that Matt Schnell fight was, does he have the cardio anymore? Now he doesn't even have to cut the weight. I think between that, the short notice piece of it all, the size, man, there's just too many things in Tim Elliott's, you know, on the wrong side of Tim Elliott here. And to see the line where it is, man, like I think I said it. I was doing VSiN this week, the first strike. And I said, I haven't seen the line yet on this one, but I'm really intrigued by what the fight will look like. And they were like, oh, the line is posted. And they read me the line on air. And I had a wild reaction. I was like, are you kidding me? Sumer Deji is an underdog here. That's nuts.
Why is that?
I think the name value on Tim Elliott, I think the loss on Sumer Deji in the last fight like looked bad, but like it doesn't look bad when you contextualize it. He had the fight won and it slipped out of his fingers and against the top 10 opponent. Now he gets a guy who fights kind of like it outside of the top 10, outside of the top 15. Is Tim Elliott in the top 15 anymore? I feel like he's not.
You're a voter. You let me know.
I don't think he's in my top 15. I'm very well versed with my top 15. I don't think he's in my top 15. And like Mudarji hits hard. So like, yeah, I don't know what's going on with this line. But I mean, I'll take it. I'll take Sumer Deji here.
All right. We're going to take a sidebar about the rankings. Something that angered me recently. Why is Michelle Waterson Gomez a top 15 fighter still?
I'm not ranking her. The other panelists may rank her. You,
like she's 14th or something. I think like
this is the,
I know
this
it's, is the, I know it's not the best division and stuff, but come on.
This is my favorite part of the rankings and being a part of them is that like, anytime somebody is ranked in a weird spot and they don't like it, they're like, why are you doing that? And I was like, I'm not ranking Conor McGregor right now. He's not in my ranks. I don't know why he's number 7. There's got to be 6 guys with him at number 2. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Michelle Waterson is not won since September 2020. And before that, she's 0-4 and 1-6. And she's a ranked fighter in the UFC. It also makes me mad about the,
she's not good either.
No. And the weight class thing also pisses me off. The rankings are never the right weight class. It has guys like you, the guy does not fight at that weight class anymore. He's fought at a different weight class and you have him at his old weight class still. That annoys me as well. And
they pick and choose when they get to be in that weight class or not. Like right now you can't vote for Kamaru Usman at middleweight. He looked good at middleweight. I'd love to put him in those rankings. I think he's better than some ranked You'd pick him over some of those guys at the bottom of the middleweight division.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, after looking like that against Khamzat, for sure. Nope. Put him at welterweight.
Is there anything else? Basically, the best rankings are the ones I do on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Performance rankings. It's wherever the fighter fought last, or if they have a fight coming up, whatever weight class is, that's the weight class that they get ranked at. And once they've been inactive for a year, then they're not ranked anymore. That's like the UFC's got to do that too, but I guess they're dealing with fighters' egos and managers and whatnot. So guys like Connor can stay in the rankings for as long as in perpetuity, like the UFC owns the rights in video games. The same thing in perpetuity. All right, rant over. Now I'm going to not rant, but I'm going to tell you about our friends at Underdog. Are you ready, Gumby? There it is on the screen for you people watching on YouTube. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football, and MMA. They got to put that in the copy here. Ad copy MMA as well. We never get any respect. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby, we're going to cash in with one of your picks. Go ahead. Give me a higher or lower.
I saw a pick'em scorcher higher or lower.
Oh, yes.
That was a two times, which is pretty much as juicy as they get. Donta Foreman on Sunday picking up a rushing or receiving touchdown. I'll take either one of those higher than half. So just he's got to get one. That's it. And Khalil Herbert looks like he's banged up a little bit. Who knows what the Bears are doing with Roschon Johnson, but I think Donta Foreman's going to find the end zone on Sunday.
All right. Watch along and see, make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, which you definitely should do, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And with all that money you're going to win off Gumby's picks, you can go spend some of it at Game Time on last minute tickets for any event you're looking for. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You get images of your seat before you buy it, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two taps and you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your inbox, I believe is what the ad copy says. Directly to your phone, excuse me. So you never have to dig through your email. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Game Time tickets make the perfect holiday gift. Download Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Let's get some more guaranteed winners here. We have agreed on every fight in this card as we move into the co-main event. I think this one's safe as well. It's a light heavyweight fight. Anthony Smith versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. This is a last, I didn't put this down. This is short notice, or this is just a hastily arranged. It's a short notice for both guys, right?
No, Roundtree was supposed to fight. Roundtree was supposed to fight somebody else, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Tapology does not have it. Yeah. Tapology doesn't have it listed as a.
Yeah. He was supposed to fight Osmat Mirzakhanov.
Oh, right. I remember. Was that on this card? Maybe that was a different card. That might be.
I think
it was last week.
It should have been last week's card. He was supposed to fight in Austin. Yeah.
All right. I'm counting this as short notice regardless for Smith. I didn't have that marked down, but now it is. There you go. Another black mark on your record here, Mr. Smith. All right, let's tell you about Anthony Lionheart. Don't mess with my family. Smith, 37-18, 20 knockouts, 14 submissions. Did he ever explain that comment in the cage?
I don't think so, but I think Johnny Walker tried to explain that he didn't know where it came from and that it seemed to be that they had no interaction before, which of course bodes well for how Anthony Smith is doing.
Yes. Yes. Johnny Walker is the last guy who's going to mess with your family anyway. He's
he's a
fun loving fellow. All right. The Lionheart, regardless, he's, I told you, 37-18. So he's been around a long time. 20 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out 10 times. Could it be 11? Submitted 4 times. 12-8 in the UFC over 2 stints. This is a short notice fight for him. Roundtree was ready for a fight last week. It didn't happen. Smith, 1-2 over his last 3, 4-2 over his last 6. He did win his last fight. He's always surprising us. I do have to say that about him. He's fight at middleweight, multiple reacher championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2-0 in Bellator, 2-2 in Strikeforce. Strikeforce never die. Bellator never die. Has missed weight before. 2008 Pro MMA debut. 3 inches of height over Roundtree. Better grappling stats than Roundtree. And he has outstruck he's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.29 strikes per minute, plus 188. Khalil Roundtree Jr., a.k.a. the Warhorse. 12-5 with 1 no contest, 8 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 8-5 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's won 4 straight fights, 3 of those via TKO. He's not lost since January 2021. Used to fight at middleweight, 2-1 in The Ultimate Fighter. 2 years younger than Smith. Better striking stats, and he's more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.43 strikes per minute, minus 240. Oh, one thing I forgot on the resume. Do you remember what his top hobby is that on listed on Wikipedia for Khalil Roundtree Jr.?
No, I don't.
You don't. I have mentioned before. He enjoys moshing and spin kicking in the pit. Gumby.
I did. Good for him. Yeah, I'll buy that.
And he's a fan of beat down hardcore music. I remember we talked about that before because we didn't know what beat down hardcore music was. It's like still, a form of punk.
Still don't know.
Anyhow, that's what the Warhorse is into. Are you picking the Warhorse here, Gumby?
Yeah, I am. Me too. I just don't trust Anthony Smith at this point. I don't trust his chin. I know. I mean, like, I guess it held up all right against Ryan Spann. But to kind of counter the point you said before, he didn't win that fight with Ryan Spann.
Yes, he did.
I know the judges. Was that in Texas? Do you have access? Do you have the record up right now?
I'll check for you.
Put the intern on that one. And let me know. I think that was in Texas, if I'm not mistaken. That was on the. It was
Singapore.
On the Max Holloway versus Korean Zombie fight card when Korean Zombie took a nap. But that being said, like, Anthony Smith isn't outstriking anybody at this point. He doesn't have better cardio than anyone at this point. Like, I guess if you're trying to draw a path to victory for him, you maybe say, like, he could grapple here. Do you really buy he's going to get on the inside of Khalil Roundtree and, like, ragdoll him on the mat? I kind of don't. Like, most of his subs seem like they're going to come from the back now at this point, and it's not like Khalil Roundtree shooting a takedown. So I think Khalil Roundtree is just going to absolutely rip his leg apart in that first round, and then he's just going to knock him cold in the second, probably.
Yeah, I agree with everything. Gumby says it's, you know, Roundtree is the obvious picker. This is a bad matchup. He's going to beat the tar out of Anthony Smith. Is my prediction, if you can get a prop bet on that. Main event time. Are we going to agree in the main event? Make it a clean sweep. Let's find out. This is 5 5-minute rounds at bantamweight. Yadong Song versus Chris Gutierrez. We'll tell you about Gutierrez first. I always tell you countries as well. We got China versus the USA. Gutierrez. El Guapo is the nickname. 20-5-2 is the nickname. 20 wins, 5 losses, 2 draws. He's knocked out 9 people, submitted 1. He's been submitted himself once. He owes us some finishes, this man. 8-2-1 in the UFC. He's 5-1 over his last 6. Won his last fight via submission. Used to fight at featherweight. 1-1 in World Series of Fighting. Multi-regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 1-0 in Bellator. 2013 Pro MMA debut. An inch of height on Song. Better striking stats. More active landing strikes. And he's got a positive strike differential of plus 2.31. Plus 310. Song Yadong, the Kung Fu Kid. 20-7-1 with one no contest. 20 wins, 7 losses, 1 draw, 1 no contest. 9 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. Both these guys owe us some finishes for sure. 9-2-1 in the UFC. 4-1 over his last 5, including winning his last fight via TKO. Used to fight up at featherweight and up at lightweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. Sanda champion as well. 6 years younger than Gutierrez. Better grappling stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.84 strikes per minute. -420. I'm going big dog here, Gumby. Gutierrez is the pick. These guys are way closer.
11 for 11.
There you go. I had a feeling because we were kind of hinting. You were kind of hinting around in the Discord weeks ago that, or maybe it was on air. Actually, it was on air about how the line in this was confusing you. I don't get the line. Yeah, it's way closer than, like, they're pretty much equal on paper when you actually break down everything. I will give Song is 5 better competition. I'll give him that, and he's younger, so they're 2 pluses. But those aren't big enough to make him a -420 favorite in my eyes. So give me Gutierrez.
And Gutierrez also does one very key thing that I think is, I'm not going to say it's the kryptonite to Song Yadong, but I think is going to be a huge issue for Song Yadong here. And that Song Yadong sits down on his punches, right? Like that's one of the things he loves to do. He throws absolute bombs. It's why we've seen knockouts from him even late in the fight. It's because he sits. And when a guy sits down on his punches and he's heavy on his front leg, he is there to be ripped on the leg repeatedly. And I don't know that there's any bantamweight in the world who throws a front leg kick better than Chris Gutierrez does. Chris Gutierrez has got leg kick TKOs in his career and, like, has regularly torn people apart with that front kick. People know that they have to defend it. But even if Song Yadong goes in with the game plan, like, I know I have to defend this, I know I can't let him have that leg kick time and time again, it takes a huge piece of Song Yadong's game away. Song Yadong is really good because he sits down in his punches and has scary power for seemingly 25 straight minutes. At least that's how it seemed in his last 2 main events. And if he's not sitting down in his punches and throwing big like that, you know, he loses a major weapon. And in addition to that, like, if he is sitting down on him, what's going to be left of his front leg? Like, it would not surprise me to see Chris Gutierrez go out there and get another leg kick KO come the 3rd or the 4th round when he's just still ripping into Song Yadong, who has decided he was going to take him early on to try to give him and didn't land the big one and now has to deal with incredible leg pain. So I like Chris Gutierrez here. I would say, you know, like, if I was personally lining this fight, when I saw it posted, I was like, oh, you know, Chris Gutierrez +140, you know, Chris Gutierrez +155 or something like that. So to see him where he is, I mean, it's incredible value on his name at that point.
All right, there you go. We agree on everything. It's going to be a stellar Saturday for us. All right, let's give you our picks and we'll give you our fancy picks and then we'll get out of your ears. Leave your ears alone and your eyeballs. We got Gutierrez. We got Roundtree Jr. We got Sue Muderji. We have got Malarkey. We have got Park. All right. Locks, dogs, props, and a 2-fight parlay is going to win you mucho dolaros. I think it's my turn to go first this week. My lock is clear Roundtree at -240.
Yeah, I joked about tailing you on everything, but I got to take Khalil Roundtree. There's a lot of fights on this card where I'm like, that's not so bad. But, like, you know, like, there's some sort of, like, weird facet to it. Like, I thought about Jung Young Park because I kind of like that line. But then I'm like, Muniz does have good sub skills and, like, yeah, I'm like glad I took Jung Young Park, but, like, there's something to it. But, like, I don't have a good sense of how Anthony Smith wins. So yeah, I'm on Roundtree too.
All right. I'm here. You weren't talking in my ears, but you were there. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go with my dog. Sumoderji. Sumoderji +25. Is that yours as well?
Yes. Come on.
Of course. We have to fade the short notice guy. So especially an old short notice guy that who's long in the tooth taking this in short notice and small. So Sumoderji's a pick.
And I only have 4 underdogs on the card. You know, we talked about liking, you know, Malarkey was the other close one for me. I almost took Malarkey, but yeah, I think all of the things going into that Sumoderji one, I think he's the dog for sure. I think we're going to switch. Hang on. Don't, just so we know we're not doing this on purpose. Do I have a writing implement? I don't know if I have a writing implement here.
No, there's no way you got the same prop as I do. Come on. That'd be crazy. But I
want to make sure that
everyone
I can
trust
like,
you.
I can
you're
do
Gumby.
Like some. I can do some sort of like fun reveal like if you do.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
It's like the Newlywed Game. All right. The main for my prop main event going to decision.
Oh,
plus 108.
I'm just gonna.
You got mad at that, did you?
Yeah, that wasn't what I thought for sure you were gonna pick the same thing I did because it was.
What's that?
I can't believe you said it goes to decision is what you took.
Yep.
That's so not your style. You deviated from the plan. I thought for sure you were gonna go Tetsuya Taira by submission.
Oh,
he's gonna win this fight by submission. He's gonna win this fight by submission. It might take him a little while. Originally, I was in there poking plus 120.
All right.
So I'm going to take that one. I think he's going to do it in the second or third round, but I still think he's going to do it. So might as well get the plus money. The third round prop was plus 350, or second round prop, plus 350. Third round was plus 500. I thought about those ones in there, but then if he wins by the first round, I'm just going to feel like an idiot. So you might as well get the sub prop.
There you go. All right, Roundtree, Sumo Derji, and then Tyra sub, and the main to go to decision were our plays. All right. Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay, two fights. Go ahead, Gumby.
Oh, I gotta have to give me a second on this one because now
you don't have one ready.
Well, no, because I was sitting there throwing. I have it here. Don't worry. So originally, my first thought was just since the line is so big, and we're already in on them, you might as well just take Chris Gutierrez on the money line, right? If we're looking for something that's gonna do that, you might as well dig in for that. And then the other one I was liking was Kevin Jussé by knockout. Kevin Jussé by knockout, you're getting at plus 275. So when you pair that with the Chris Gutierrez money line, you're going to get plus 1437 was the number. Fantastic. I saw 1437, Jussé knockout, Chris Gutierrez money line.
Beautiful. There you go. You got all you need to win money now this weekend. We'll be back on Sunday to count all the money that we won. In the meantime, you can cheer along with us in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. You can reach us on Twitter, SGP and MMA, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer are the handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram too, if that's your jam. Subscribe to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Enter my pick'em contest. You can get all the rest of my MMA writing that's not on Sports Gambling Podcast. You can get it there. And Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast in your ears. Probably you can listen to it. If you haven't already, you can listen to it right now. It should be in your feed. Remind us who's on it this week, Gumby.
Jamie Malarkey from this card, and then from LFA next week, Opani Pagoa.
There you go. What else should we tell you? Sports Gambling Podcast and sports.com and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. They're the places to go. All right, Gumby, get us out of here till Sunday.
All right, I'm Daniel Gilbert-Vreeland. He's the Brazilian Custard, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.